Okay, so we're talking about the idea of the daughter of Paro sending out her hand, and it miraculously extends itself. And the quote, based on the idea, is Hashem's hand too short? So, obviously, if the strength to pick up your hand comes from Hashem, so there's no reason to limit how far that hand can go. So, at the bottom paragraph of page Kuf Pei Aleph. How much time does a person have the strength to pick up and lower his hand, or to grab something above? In other words, certainly the strength is limited. It's only so much you could do. Right? The pasuk says, "V'yidei Moshe kvedim." Moshe's hands became heavy when they were fighting Amalek. He raised his hands, they become tired. Yeah. That's when the Jewish people are sinning. The Mishnah says, what caused Moshe's hands to raise up or go down? It's when the Jewish peoples, when their hearts went to Hashem, and they were thinking of Hashem, Shuv yidei Moshe enikvedim. Moshe's hands were no longer heavy. His hands could stay up. Because then the power to raise his hands was Hashem's power. And by Hashem, there's no such concept of heaviness. When a person thinks he is himself, then as a created being, then kamugbal is limited, then the hand is way too heavy to raise it up. More examples of that. Okay, next page, Kuf Pei Beis. B'mishpat Zeh, with that sentence, Shon Omer, that we're speaking, Taman Soda Vodah Panimis, this is what lies the inner service to Hashem. Kol Abriya Kula, the entire creation, Kol Kadur Ha'oret Shonu Makim, the entire planet that we recognize, Bonu Yal Yisod HaKoved V'alKoach HaMashich L'Oretz, it's built on the principle of gravity. Right, that's the word Mashiach L'Oretz, pulling down to it. That's gravity. Kovet is weight. Principle of gravity. Newton's principle, right? V'kivin shezeu sod ha'briya sh'adam nimshech l'artzios. And this, since this is the fundamental point of creation, is that a person is pulled by the force of gravity. V'tafkido li'lochem neged ha'zerem v'lalos b'chazor l'elochus. His job is to go against that energy that's pulling him down and to go up against that towards Hashem. It's the whole idea. Your idea is to rise up to Hashem, go against the force of gravity. So, kesha'odam makir bepnimius, when a person can recognize his innermost self, sha'akoach ha'mechayas olakus, that the power that gives him life is godliness. Once you realize that Hashem is the power, shuv lo kiyum es ha'musik shokove, there's no concept of heaviness. Ubekocho lalos HaKadosh Baruch Hu ad bli gvul, and therefore you have the ability to rise up to Hashem without any limitations. Meaning, you know, the force of gravity is what put Moshe's hands down. So how could he go against the force of gravity? Very simple. When it's more locked into Hashem, then there's no gravity holding you back. There's no gravity holding you back. And that's an overall existential concept. Right, you know, gravity is just the physical manifestation of the entire concept of this whole world. The earthliness of this world pulls you down. Right? We've talked about this in the past. Every physical principle in this world is a manifestation of a spiritual principle. If we were clever enough, right, if I could spend enough time thinking about it and looking into enough mystical books, we would be able to explain every physical principle in this world is based in a mystical orientation. So, what is the mystical principle upon which gravity is based on? It's in just come, you know. So the physicist will tell you, whatever, it's, look at Newton's laws, and what is it, 9.8 meters per square foot space. I don't remember what it is anymore. Something like that. I remember 9.82. So. Per 9.8 per second squared, right? So they're able to measure. They're able to measure the force of gravity, right? So that's good. Physicists, yeah, can measure that. Good. So you ask them. So now, why is there a force of gravity? So they just say, because lama kacha, because that's the way it is. But I can measure it. So you have to go to the mystic to understand why there's gravity in this world. So. What's the source of that? Everyone knows. Not everybody. It's a Gemara that says that God created the world with the letter He. He created the world with the letter He. Right? The letter He. What does that mean? The letter He. So, Mar explains. Letter He is closed on three sides and empty on the bottom. Open on the bottom. Why? To say that if you're not careful, you'll fall right through the bottom. You'll fall right through the bottom. He'll fall right through the bottom. So what's Gemara saying? Gemara is saying there's a force of spiritual gravity at work. This world is a physical world, a very gross physical world. And if a Jewish person gets lost in the physical world, it will pull him down and will make him be that gross physical entity himself. And he will just lose himself right through the world. If he gets too caught up into the physicality of this world, he'll slip right out. He'll just slip right out. There's a spiritual entity. There's a physical entity. If you get too wrapped up, the physical is always pulling you down. It's bringing you down. It's bringing the spiritual person down. Right? The spiritual person is supposed to want to do what? To connect to Hashem. To connect to Hashem, you got to be up. You gotta move, be at the top of the ches. Stay higher up on the ches. And if you're not, you're gonna pull yourself right down. You know, you're made out of the earth. So now that will represent itself in a physical way that the force of gravity is pulling you down to earth. But that's only based on a spiritual concept that's saying, as a spiritual entity, you're supposed to gravitate to Hashem. And if you get too caught up in the physical, you'll sink right down and to become a behemoth, to become an animal. And that's what life's about. Life is trying to rapidly climb the downward escalator. You're trying to stay up, right? And that's the way it is. Every time you want to be good. Right, you want to be good. You're working on something, right? You know, this time of year, the 63 days between Shavuos and Tisha B'Av are immense times of danger for the Jewish people. Immense times of danger for the Jewish people. Why? Because two things are operating at the same time. On the one hand, we just got the Torah, and we think we're really something special. So therefore, we become very arrogant. Look at us, we got the Torah, we're amazing. In 7 weeks, look what happened. From rags to riches. It's unbelievable. What can't we do? Right? What can't we do? At Sinai, God said, you know, if you want, I could make it that you'd never forget Torah. If you want, I could make it. I'll kill the Yetzirah for you. I said, no. We're happy with the Yetzirah. We're spiritually strong. We can deal with it. You know, Balgaivus. Arrogance. Yeah. You see what happened 40 days later with all their arrogance. We can do it on our own. We're pretty stable after a whole 7-week training course. You know, we're unbelievable strong. I said, yeah, really? Okay, we'll see. Take one little test. Moshe, come just one day late and we'll see how strong you are. Right? You're arrogant people you are. Right? So it's inbred in this tekufa of the year to have a lot of arrogance. Instead of the whole night shavuos. It's not shaykh. I'm such a Talmud Chacham now. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable how great I am. And also, you've got the other aspect of it's the summertime. It's a liberating time, and there's a lot of the liberation that the person feels can bring out a lot of that sensory physical pleasures in this world. You know, and you don't have to be a chacham to understand this. Like, nobody's wearing any clothes now. I mean, it's bechlal. It's not, you know, less than pajamas. Less than the pajamas that Dick Van Dyke and Mary Tyler Moore were watching in the sitcoms in the 60s. You know, took a look at one recently, just nostalgically. You know, nostalgically, it's like unbelievable. You know, separate beds. And their pajamas, it's much more clothes than anybody wears to work. I'm telling you, more than what people wear to work in the winter. You know, I'm just saying, but in the summertime, you know, people going with no clothes. Less than their pajamas. Right? That's the summertime. In the summertime when the weather is hot, right? Right? No. Certain things you just hear it, it's blaring, you know. You know, last night I gave a class up north, so I did a matoiva. So I come out, it's 11 o'clock. I come out in the parking lot. It's 11 o'clock at night.
All the kids.
Never. So there are six Russian kids who were in the class before. It's a pachad, you know. I was walking in, I see all these, whatever, young adults that look like a bunch of hooligans, you know. Then I see they're in the class 10 minutes later. So I'm finished with the class, and they're out there still. They came back, you know, when they're finished. I know, and Marv, whatever, and they're there. They're just standing there. Six, and there's a whole bunch of groups like that. And there's music blaring, Shein Kamo. It's like, Mom, it's blaring. It's 11 o'clock at night. It's like, I don't know where it's blaring from. I can't figure out where it's from. It's a car at the store. I don't know where it's going. It's like blaring. And then another, at least there were only six boys there. And then a different quadrant, there's boys and girls. It's like, Mom, it's like a freedom. The summer is freedom. So we deal with the two toughest aspects that Jews have to deal with. Gaiva and Taiva. Arrogance and lust. Summer is a real lustful time of the year. Very lustful time of the year. It's admittedly difficult for men. Much more than women. It's not good for anybody. Right? And you feel your mom is something. Your mom is something. You got the Torah. It's not shy how incredible you are. So therefore, when you have Gaiva and Taiva, that season, when you put those two together, is ripe for machloikas, for arguments. It's ripe for arguments. And that's where more arguments will happen over the summer. You feel you've accomplished something. It fits in so many ways. It fits in agriculture. God makes it work that way. That in these months, the 63 days from Shavuos until Tisha B'Av, have to be the worst times for us, because the challenges at that time of year are extremely strong. It's a challenge from the greatness side as opposed from the negative side. In the winter time, it's a challenge from the negative side, because it's so dark and so gloomy and this. And now it's a challenge from, because everything's so good, the night, look at all the problems you have when things are so good. You know, you're harvesting, look how much money you've made. The crop is coming in, right? You were praying the whole winter that it should rain. Oh Hashem, please help me, please help me, please help me. If it doesn't rain, I'm gonna die. Then it's raining and it's blooming and this and that. Okay, God, I can take over from now. You know, here's your Bikurim, and now let me go. You know, and it's like, you know, the millions. You're raking it in. And you're busy, and you're really busy in this physical world, reaping and harvesting, and you're, all you're talking about is your business all day long. And then you sit back and it's unbelievable. So it's so ripe for machlokas, and you'll see historically, even in your own life, that the summertime is filled with more arguments than in the winter. Much more. And the whole avoida of these 63 days is to avoid machlokas. So as much as you can, to the extent as possible, you try to avoid machlokas. You avoid getting into arguments. Avoid strife. Right? So what's going on? See, the world's just pulling at you. It's just pulling. There's nothing you can do about this. It just pulls you down. It's pulling you down. Pulling so hard. Be a zhlob. Be an animal. That's what you're saying. Mamish, Tyra, Yiddish, or Kinder, being mamish animals now. And that's all I had. Let's be free and uninhibited. And free this, free that. So you become an animal. So it's this pull down, down, down. That's the way God created the world. That the physical lusts and the taivas and everything in this world, it's going to pull you right down, and that's the letter hey. It'll pull you right out of the hay. You know, three things take you out of the world. Kina, va'kovid, va'taiva. This pull you out of the world. Just pull you right out of the world. You can't live in the world. Just pull you down. So if that's the spirit, that is the root of existence. That is what existence is. That's what Gemara says. So if that's the way it's spiritually, it's what's got to play itself out physically. How's that physically? That you fall down. If you don't do anything to keep yourself up, you will fall down. You have to constantly go against. You were up this morning. You did not fight gravity. As I came 5 minutes later, his mom said, I went to bed so late this whole week. It's like unbelievable. So it's like the good old days. So it's, the alarm clock ran at 10 to 6. I go, oh man, just a second. Next thing I knew, it was 6:06. 6:06, I was in the car by 6:12. Like, it was like, but the gravity, what? You see this a lot of gravity. How many people are in shul right now? Because gravity's working pretty good. It's keeping everybody in their bed. It's an effort to get out of bed. You mamish have to fight to get out of this bed. It's a fight to keep moving. You know, and you look at all the teenagers, you know, the classical teenager, they just shuffle along. You know, I take my time, just shuffle along. It's like, you know, as if there's weight on them. They can't move. But that's true. There's a tremendous force of gravity. This laziness, all these things, and it just pulls you right down. It pulls you right out of the earth. Once you become a behemoth, you know, you're pulled right out of the earth. Right? So that's the principle, right? So then, of course, the question is, but it's not closed on three sides. There's a little opening on the top of the left wall. So what's the answer? Because even if you fall out of the world, you can climb back up. You can climb back up, and you can get yourself back into the world. You can get yourself back into the world. So the question is, why don't you just come back from the way you came? Because you'll never succeed. You try to come back to God through the venue from where you sinned. It won't work. You got to find a different venue, and it's a lot narrower. Because you got to really focus on who and what you are to get yourself back into the world. You just can't. You just can't take all your gaivas and taivas and say, okay, I love you, God, the way I am, and I'm going to rise up. You can't. You've got to get rid of all that stuff and crawl in to the most difficult way to get in. So that's what you see are the principles that are involved over here in a person's life. And therefore, in the physical world, it plays itself out in the world of gravity. In the world of gravity. So that's really what he's talking about over here. That, you know, what keeps your hands down? What keeps your hands up? And even the physical way, it's how much are you connected to God? Now, on the other hand, we have the neshama. Now, what do we know? The neshama. What do we know? There's one thing in the world, only one thing in the world that defies the law of gravity. Physical thing in the world that defies the law of gravity. What's that? A fire, a flame. Does not the flame defy the law of gravity? Which way does fire go? And isn't that an interesting thing? Now go ask the physicist, how do you explain that? How do you explain that? You have a ball, it falls down. You have wood, it falls down. You ignite a flame, it doesn't fall down, it goes up. So I don't know, maybe they could give you some scientific reason with the combustion and what happens with that makes it go up. Right? But why? But why? Why is it that? Why is the property of the elements there making go up? Why? Because what's really going on is that a flame is code word, symbol of the neshama. Kiner lokim nishma sadam. The candle of God is the soul of man. Now, within you is a soul that is able to defy the law of gravity because everything goes to its root. So everything physical, its root is the earth. Spiritual root is Hashem, and it goes up. So it's able to defy the law of gravity. That's the neshama. The part that's connected to Hashem can defy the law of gravity. So now we can understand. if you can reach, so you have within yourself a soul that's so buried in underneath all that physicality, if you can tap into that soul, then of course you will be able to defy the law of gravity. Right? You can defy the law of gravity. And you could be a tzaddik, you can stand all day Yom Kippur without having to sit down. The law of gravity should be pushing you down. But you could stand and stand and stand because you're linked to something else. And that's what he's saying over there. That's why Moshe's hands, you know, gravity should be pushing you down. But if you're connected to Hashem, you're going up because that zerem, that electricity that is flowing through you now is rising and lifting you up. So as much as you can appreciate and you can understand that fire goes against gravity, and really, you know, from all intents and purposes, that's the most amazing miracle you're seeing in this world. You know, and the more wood Larry puts into that bonfire, right? It's incredible. He's putting wood that goes down, that is a forced by gravity to go down, but you put it in the fire, it's going to go up. And you can keep that thing going. And you know, people don't understand the miracle that's going on every day when they're looking at the bonfire and they're seeing that the law of gravity is being defied again and again and again and again. How is this happening? It's an unbelievable miracle. Because there's something to fire that has an element that is representing a spiritual concept within this world, and therefore it will defy the law of gravity. It will defy the law of gravity. So therefore, what's the big deal? So now you as a Jew, if you just tap into your neshama, the deepest part of yourself, that's godliness, and God is not inhibited by anything He created and not inhibited by gravity either. And that's how you're able to rise up and go against the physical laws of nature. And that's not a miracle, that's just the simple reality of being connected to the source. Right? So that's what he's saying. That's what he's talking about over here. Right? So now, let's continue back inside. So, where are we now? Second paragraph? Did I finish the first paragraph? Yeah. No, I didn't? Still in the first paragraph. So again, we finished the first two lines. Right? So this whole world has this gravitational pull pulling you down. Right, third line. Kivin shezel soda bria shadam nimshach le'artzis. This is the secret, the mystery of creation, that man is pulled to the earth. He's pulled down. The tafkido and his goal, lehilochem neged hazerem, is to fight against that pull, that force of gravity, velalos b'chazer l'kis, to go back to Hashem. So kishadam makir b'pnimius, shakoach ha-machayos o'elokus, when a person recognizes his inner strength that gives him life is this godliness, shuv lokim esol musik shakovet, then there's no concept of being tired anymore. You have the ability then to rise to Hashem without any limitations. Right? Now it's a constant battle, because if you let your guard down for 1 second, the gravity will pull you right down again. As much as you win a battle today, right? So how do you succeed? How do you succeed not to get in a machlokes with somebody? Right? Somebody, you know, it happens, right? Summers have always machlokes. So how are you going to avoid it? You got to be very close to Hashem. You got to daven to Hashem. Hashem, please, I don't want to. Don't let me get pulled after my body, my arrogance. Who is he to tell me that? I'm going to show him. I'm going to show him who's boss. I'm going to prove to him that I can be better than him and this and that. I'm going to show him. You know, it's Nebuch. I was at the talk last night. It's a couple that... They used to be in our community, but not for a long time. Not, and they live up there. It's like it was sad. It's just sad, you know. A nice family. Look, we knew them maybe 10 years ago. They moved up north. And there's no shaykhs with us. And so I see the guy. So how you doing? He looks terrible. He's like 40 years old. Looks terrible. What's the matter? We're getting divorced. You know, it's like, and he starts telling me all his problems. You know. So that was during they were showing the movie, so I was in it, so he was talking. So then he goes, let's go see the movie. So then 10 minutes later, who shows up? His wife. Mm-hmm. So I say her. So then I say, make like I don't know anything. And how's it going? Oh, it's just terrible, terrible. And she's saying how terrible the husband is. Before the husband's saying how terrible the wife is, husband, right? Right? And it's like, and it's a, And she said, yeah, and I'm willing to stay married. I'm willing to this. And now we're going to have to sell the house, and the lawyers are going to get the house, isn't that? So what's this divorce all about? You know, what's it all about? It's who's going to win? You can see they're at that state. Who's going to win? Nah. 17 years, how you made me suffer. You will pay. And we'll destroy our 3 children. We will destroy them. We'll use them as pawns to inflict pain upon you. And at the end of the day, who's the last one standing? We don't care. The house can go. Everything can go. As long as you die and I'm the winner. This is today's society in 50% of the families. Because why? Because that arrogance, that, you know, just pulling it out to be a behemoth. Even behemoths don't do this. Even a behemoth doesn't kill his kids. I mean, there's a couple. I think there's one. Ooh, the guppies. The guppies eat their kids. But I mean, generally speaking, a behemoth, an animal watches its kids. I mean, generally, that'll get you. That'll use it. A bear, that'll irritate more than anything else, right? You touch that little cub, you stay, right? Larry, you said stay away from cubs. Because usually a mother not too far away. Right? I mean, generally, an animal will protect its children, right? Parents won't. Well, parents will if they're spiritual. But if they're not, they'll destroy them. They'll use them as pawns to destroy somebody else. Because that's gravity. See, like mom is watching gravity at work. Just pulling them down, turning them into behemoths. So you got to fight it. You got to fight it all the time. You got to fight it all the time. I said to the woman, you know, what are you going to say? You try to say something very, you know, Solomonic. I say, you know, marriages always need a lot of work. They always, I said, I'm married 28 years and I still have to work. You know, you have to work. You know, it sounds, you got married, everything's fine, you know, go on cruise control. No, there's the force of gravity working there all the time. You got to always work. You got to always fight the gravity. You got to be moichel on your covet and this and that. You know, and if I would stop working, I would be divorced too. I says, no, there's no cruise control in marriage. You got to keep working at it. I mean, you can succeed, but this isn't going automatic pilot. It's always the next thing. It's always the next thing. Okay, so I mean, you got to grow a little more. So that's the same thing. So you got through one situation. So the Yetzer Hara comes the next. So the Yetzer Hara is telling you, right? Especially in the summer, right? Yetzer Hara is telling you, why don't you take a look, feast your eyes on what's out there to see. I'm not going to look. So the next day, he says, try it again. Something better today than was yesterday. He says, Mom, you got to fight every kind of mom. At least in the winter, you have a chance. But in the summer, right? That's why, you know, just, maybe that's why, you know, people go to the cottage, just get out of the city. Stay away from all the HRs. But the HRs that go into the, used to be years ago, you go up north, there was nothing there. It wasn't commercialized. Years ago, right? It's just you and the loonies. Right now you got the pay-per-view. What do you call it? Those big satellite. You know, it's like Mama's a steer, a satellite dish in the middle of the country. Like it's like, you know, I mean, you go to the country. You go to the country. You want to be close to God. You know, fine. Go to Algonquin. There's still no satellite dishes in Algonquin, right? But now they take the city. You know, it's like crazy. Take the whole city and just put it out in the country. You know, it makes sense. You want to go to the country, get out of the city. Okay. So they put the city into the country. See, there's hardly any escaping anywhere. So that Yitzhak just keeps pulling you. It's like every second it's pulling you down. Every second you gotta fight. So you get tired after a while, no? So the answer is you gotta be hooked up to this inner strength. Once you're hooked in, the trick is to stay hooked in. Once you're hooked in, you can fight it. You'll automatically rise. Spiritually, you will rise. And that's what the pasuk is in the allegory with Moshe's hands could stay up. As long as the Jews were hooked in, his hands could stay up. They don't get tired. So the same thing, as long as you can stay hooked in close to God and bringing out this point of godliness, you can continue to rise against those Yetzer Haras that are pulling you down. Okay, that makes sense. So now, Nakat Nushtei Dugmos, we've given 2 examples. Avol Kimuvan Elu Dugmos Balma. These are just simple examples. The idea of your hand, the limitations of your hand, the limitations of your, how it could pick things up, and your mouth, right? Your mouth. What your mouth can say. It's limited, but because if you realize it's Hashem's power, then you can do whatever you need to do. That was from yesterday. These are just examples. But the bottom line is the same thing. It's very simple. As long as you think you're making it happen, you are more constricted and confined. And the more you can sense and feel that it's the innermost hidden godliness that's really activating things, you're much less limited. So that's why you brought the Bikurim. Why did you bring the Bikurim, the first fruits? Why did you do that? The Bikurim was meant to be the antidote against this Sakon of these 63 days. Right? 63 days. Ooh, look at me. Look, I'm the great farmer. Look what I can do. The more you say that, the more you're in danger. The more you say it's you, the more limited you are. He's saying, look at me. Look how great I am. Look at this. The guy says, watch, I can get you into machlokes so fast it isn't even funny. It isn't even funny how fast I could turn you into a boorish animal. It's like unbelievable. You see people who publicly are mamish, very prim and proper, but behind closed doors, they're animals. Mamish animals. Okay. So now, that's all I did with the Bikurim. So now look what I planted. Not look what you planted. So what's the first thing you do? The first thing you do, you take the nicest fruits. And what do? So again, what's the Goyish concept? The Goyish concept, you go into every business, what do you see hanging up on the wall? Is the first dollar that I made. The first dollar that I made, look at me. That's mamash a Goyish concept. No Jew should have this in their store. Right? It's mamash a Goyish concept. If you were a Jew, what do? You hang up on in your business the first tax receipt for the tzedakah that you gave. That's what you put on the store wall. Nice donation, $100, so and so, because I finally made money, I can give tzedakah. That's what you put on your door. A photocopy of it, right? Right? That's what you gave. So now what did they do long ago? So that was the idea of the Bikurim. Your first fruits, you say, listen, Hashem, it wasn't me, it was you. It was you, not me. So now I take the nicest fruits, the first fruits, I take it to the base of Mikdash, they're yours, because I know it was you and it wasn't me. So if you really internalize that message, then that would protect you for the next 63 days. But if you don't internalize that message, you think it's you, the more you think it's you, the less you can accomplish. And there's all these Hasidic stories, all the famous Hasidic stories where these people are trying to do these unbelievable mitzvahs, right? I forgot which Rebbe it was that he wanted one of his Hasidim to prepare the wine, I think, for Pesach. I have to refresh my memory on the details of the story. I only remember the point. Right, and like for a holy tzaddikim, with wine, you have to be much more careful than what the halacha is even. The halacha is one thing, but for a tzaddik, like you got it. He said, I want wine for the Pesach Seder, and a goy can't, not a goy can't touch it, can't even look at the wine. That's how much he was told the chassid. He says, Rebbe, I'll do it. And the chassid mamish, he grows the grapes and he crushes the grapes and he makes the wine and he this and he that. He mamish does the whole thing. And the rebbe says, make sure a goy doesn't even look at it. Remember, if a rebbe's making kiddush on wine, who knows in which spheres this wine is going into. So it's like mamish, you can't have anything, like beyond halacha. Hasidic story, you have to accept the regiment of a Hasidic standard, right? So, mamash, the guy spends a whole year getting this wine ready. This is gonna go. So he's got it all loaded up, and it's now on the, it's in the carriage. It's covered up with bundles of, blankets. He's going to the Rebbe now. I did it. I was able to do it. It was unbelievable. So, there's a checkpoint, the border crossing. They say, what do you got? He says, I got wine. No, you don't. You have gold. No, I got wine. No, you got gold. We're gonna go and check it. No, don't check it. I'll give whatever I can. I'll give you everything. No. He took a look at the wine. Finished. He comes to the Rebbe. He's sabrachan. He's broken. He says, Rebbe, what happened? I don't understand. I did everything you told me to do. And it didn't work. So he says, one thing. Did you ever think of Hashem when you were preparing the wine? He kept saying, I'm going to make the wine. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. Yeah, I'm going to do this. Did Hashem, was Hashem involved at all making this wine? That's why they took a look at it. So, you know, that's the problem in Avodas Hashem. You gotta remember that it's Hashem. So, what you gotta do, it's in the summertime and you're getting into one of these situations where you're gonna get embroiled. That's all, embroiled in machlokas, because in the summertime it's a good time to broil. I mean, it's hot, the tempers are short. Remember, there was no air conditioning until the last 50 years. Just think about it. You're on the 17th floor of an apartment building in July. You know, what do you got, a fan? Drinking iced tea? I mean, you're dying, you know. So everything's broiling. It's like, mamash, the tempers are broiling, right? So now you're entering a situation where you could be a mamash, a big machlokes. So you got to daven to Hashem. Hashem, I do this sometimes. I say, Hashem, I can't do it on myself. I can't not yell at this person. The person's making me crazy. I can't do it. Hashem, you got to help me. Without your help, I cannot do it. And you know what? You do that, and all of a sudden you can control yourself. I'm oversimplifying it, but that's the emes, you know. So that's the point. To the degree that you think you're doing it, to that degree, whatever you can do, you can do. But you're a very limited being. You're pulled by gravity every minute of the day. To the degree that you're connected to that Hashem is doing it, then if Hashem is doing it, there's no limit as to how far you can go. So now, kisharam bo la'avodas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when a person comes to God, if a person begins to fight against challenges, and yearnings as to where to go, you're trying to map out your spiritual game plan, and we're talking about this. We're talking about how you gotta, how do he spoil to do? So you gotta reflect. And you gotta all the difficult work that we're coming to the end of this book soon. So. Raise the lovely spot. What's the first thing you got to think about in your pursuit, in your ascent in spirituality? Me tainly as a koach lagiyashem. You got to ask yourself, who's going to give me the strength to reach this unbelievable goal? Imukochi ani rotz lagiya. Do I want to reach it on my own strength? If that's the case, hareisha rabos machshavos b'lavish, as King David says, there are many thoughts in the heart of a person. Right, but what happens? Avalatzas Hashem hisakum, but only the ideas of Hashem are the ones that are everlasting. But if you begin to realize that the power, the only power, that through that you can progress spiritually, Zakarish Baruch is Hashem, so then, Lama Shirmamit Befun of Magbalo, so why should there be standing before many limitations? There's no limitations. Once you're connected to the source, your hand can go 50 yards, your hands can stay up forever, you could talk in a way, that's the way that God talks, I could say one thing and two people can understand things differently. Mineo Bey, from this alone, Adam Tzorch Lagia La Karp Shu, that you should be able to come to a simple recognition. Imeneni Margish Shazeh Kodesh Baruch Hu, if I cannot feel that it is Hashem that's doing the work, if I don't give him the reins and connect to those reins, I can't accomplish anything. And if it is Hashem that's doing it, why should I limit myself in any way possible? So that's what I keep saying. I'm telling you guys, you're going to know Shas. You keep thinking you're going to learn Shas. If you'd finally say, Hashem, you teach it to me, then you'll be able to do Shas. What's the problem? What is it to know? How many pages is it? 3,000? It's 365.
It's 2,000 and a half. It's 2,200 and something.
So what is it to know 2,300 pages of Talmud? What's the big deal? All you need is to be able to get how to do it. Once you can do a page a day. You can do it in 7.5 years. Okay, it may take you 7.5 years to get the skills to do it in 7.5 years.
Yeah.
But who's the koyach of the skills in? Who's the koyach? It's God can give it to you. He can give it to you. You got to work. I mean, you can't just sit back. You got to work, but he could bless you. You could do it. What is it to the common? So as long as you say I can't do it, you're absolutely right. I can't do it. It's not for me. You're right. So why don't you say Hashem can do it for me? If I will connect to Hashem, I'll be able to do it. Should be zoicha to give God the reins, and once you give Him the reins, He'll be able to accomplish those things for you. Okay, shkoyach, everybody.